July 11th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Surreal Chip Hessenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around thinking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, you can think about the things that are important to you and find more information. This is going to be a weird episode.
It is. It's a good day to have maybe a swirly colored Slurpee.
Oh, it's 7-Eleven. It's free Slurpee day. You should go to 7-Eleven today and get a free Slurpee.
Mix up some colors because it is a surreal sort of episode.
Oh, man. We're going deep now. Yeah, Slurpees. Okay. Growing up, North Carolina, did they have 7-Eleven?
We did have 7-Elevens. Okay. I had one right around the corner from me.
Okay.
And we would go up, and that's where we would play pinball.
Okay.
And that's where we would get our combs. Did you ever have
these
combs?
What are you, from the 1950s?
That's right. We had to do our best, and this is where we also get our Slurpees.
Yeah? Oh, man. I grew up in a suburb of Chicago, and we didn't have anything, and nothing was close to us. But we had 7-Elevens, and we had White Hen Pantries. And we went to all these convenience stores, that 50s era. I feel old some days. I go to the video store, I go to the Slurpee, I get some candy, ride around on my bike.
Exactly.
That's summertime, man.
Exactly.
I love it.
I mean, as a kid, your world is, you know, how far you can go in your bike.
That's right. Man, I had some interesting fun adventures.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our Film at 11, our movie of the week. Some interesting fun adventures. Yes, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Did you like at the beginning of this movie where they played the Spider-Man theme from the 1960s?
I had a small child sitting next to me who was singing that song before that started. And then when they played that actual song in the movie, this kid was beside himself.
Well, I will say one of the first observations you have with this movie is that the Marvel Universe movies typically don't have memorable music.
I agree.
But Spider-Man has memorable music. And it started from the 60s.
Spider-Man is a different property from most of the other Marvel properties.
I know, but we got to see what the Marvel group would do with this character. And they did a pretty good job.
They did a really good job. If you haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming yet, I would really recommend it. I think this is quite possibly my favorite superhero movie of all time.
Well, my daughters turned down the opportunity to go see this with Dad.
That's how we can judge whether Chip's daughters go or not.
But I have a feeling they would have enjoyed it because there was a lot of Peter Parker. There was a lot of high school.
Mm-hmm.
There's relationships that are going in high school and not fitting in and kind of fitting in. And just knowing how to needle each other just perfectly.
And how interesting is it that they changed the story for a 21st century audience? They made this a school full of nerds. All of the characters are nerds.
It's a school of math and science, which is exactly where Peter Parker would go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that they gave up from the original 60s comic, your Aunt May is not sickly.
Right.
Okay, so it wasn't always about going out and getting
Marissa
her pills to bring it back.
Oh, boy.
That's kind of the whole joke of it is Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark, always makes little comments that he probably shouldn't be making.
Yes. She's beautiful.
Oh, she's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we unloaded a whole bunch of stuff that didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought it into a modern school. A modern school has many different people. So, you know, if we think about this, Flash,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the 60s is this guy who's got a jalopy. He's kind of a football player.
Dumb jock.
Exactly.
Stereotype.
Okay. But we don't have this.
Nope.
He may not be Peter Parker's intelligence, but he is capable enough to be in this school.
Right.
And so he is a bright guy.
And he drives a car and his license plate says Flash Drive. That's brilliant. I love this movie.
Oh, this is a lot of fun. And they picked the right bad guy for this movie. And the beauty is he's not necessarily a bad guy. I mean, he turned into a bad guy.
He's doing bad things, but he's doing those things out of a necessity to make something for his family.
And the idea was that his company, which was just a construction cleanup company,
mm-hmm.
everything happened after the big Avengers, you know, the whales came and all that other stuff. They got to clean that up.
That is the centerpiece of all of the Marvel conversations, all the Netflix Marvel episodes are all about what happened after that New York
battle. It changed the world.
Battle.
I mean, as far as the movie world, it changed their world. Their world went from our world to a world of super things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you know all these rocks that have the energy in them and learning to harness in it. You know, they're making weapons out of this stuff. I'm not giving away too much, but the idea was we have the gentleman who is Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Who eventually became the Vulture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his company bid and won a contract to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Damage Control, which is a government agency, came in to take over these and basically squeezed him out.
Yeah.
So his home's on the line. His family is going to suffer. All the people he hired to put this together, they're all going to suffer. Mm-hmm. And Damage Control said, well, too bad.
Too bad.
And so he...
He does what he has to do.
He did what he had to do. So that's another beautiful part about this movie is that we have, if we think about, we have the super bad guys like the Thanoses that are, you know, universe building, but we're getting down to, you know, street level guys.
Yes, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I really enjoyed all the themes that we see in mm-hmm. this movie, all of those high school tropes. It's called Homecoming because it's about homecoming.
There's a homecoming dance there,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's what it's about. And I thought that when I saw the title, I thought that they were going to focus on that. And they did this really well. If you haven't seen this movie, go out and see this movie.
It is as good of a popcorn flick that as you could imagine.
Yeah.
And I say that in the most... I mean, this may never hold the test of time. Maybe. 10 or 15 years from now. But they really are... This is perfect. You see the power that Disney's Marvel division
mm-hmm.
has over this character in comparison to what Sony was doing with the character. And there's nothing against what they were doing. It's just what it is.
And so many Star Wars references. There's so much Star Wars in Marvel now. It's great. I look forward to seeing this maybe a second time. I didn't bring my wife to see it the first time, and she was a little frustrated. So I might have to see it a second time.
You may have to see it a second time?
I might have to. That's all right. I also have been watching some TV. The Battle of the Network Stars is back on ABC. This is the classic.
Are you watching this live? Or are you watching this on...
I'm watching this on YouTube TV, so I'm usually watching it a day after it comes out, but I could watch it live. This is so much fun. All the stars from the 80s, 90s, and today getting together and doing field day. That's the way that you put it when we talked about this last week. It's stars field day, and it is so well edited. They put together a story. The best reality shows have a really good story with an arc of characterizations. The bad reality shows don't have that. This is a good reality show. I've been enjoying it very much. I've also been enjoying Twin Peaks, The Return. We have now gotten through half of the 18-hour Twin Peaks, The Return event on Showtime, and I still don't know what's happening. I still don't know.
That's a total David Lynch way of doing things.
That's David Lynch. This is really pure David Lynch movie making on a TV screen, especially episode 8. Those of you who are following along with Twin Peaks at all, Chip is looking at me like he has no idea what I'm talking about. It's okay. Episode 8 was special, and people were talking about episode 8 for 2 weeks because David Lynch didn't put an episode on the week after episode 8. So it is a stream of consciousness. It is fascinating to watch.
Okay.
So I went and got more David Lynch.
You went and got more David Lynch. Now, there was a movie that came out.
Yes.
And now it's available on Amazon Prime?
This is on Amazon Prime. It's called David Lynch, The Art Life. It is a documentary about David Lynch and what he's doing with art. He does a lot of pop art. He takes these pieces and smushes them onto a board and makes these very weird
sort of
shapes.
Andy Warhol-ish, yeah. Slash definitely from the pop, from the 50s and 60s mm-hmm. pop era.
Yeah.
Lichtenstein and all sorts of...
Yes. He is a pop artist. He's making these pieces that make you wonder about his mental stability.
There's a familiarity to it and uh-huh. a weirdness there.
There's a weirdness. There's a David Lynch weirdness. A lot of bugs, a lot of decapitations. which play into Twin Peaks very interestingly.
So if you were ever at the Institute of Art in Chicago, mm-hmm. and you went into the pop section, there's the dollies and stuff like that, you could, this is exactly where you would expect to see this type of work.
Yes, and this documentary is very contemplative, very slow, very thoughtful. You see a lot of nothing happening, just David Lynch sitting in a chair smoking a cigarette. It's very, very David Lynch. David Lynch is famous for having these scenes that are very open to interpretation, where you, the audience, are adding your own emotion to what's actually happening on the screen. That's what's happening in Twin Peaks. That's what's happening in the art life. It's free. It's on Amazon Prime. Go watch it.
No additional cost. Never free.
It's good for you. It's good to know things. You got a chance to see Hacksaw Ridge.
This stars Spider-Man.
Yes. This is
or the previous Spider-Man.
This is the
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield, not the new Spider-Man, because all other Spider-Mans are now dead to me.
Oh, you can't say that.
Oh, this
Tobey,
guy.
Tobey Maguire, the first Spider-Man, the second Spider-Man. I don't know, man.
Spider-Man Homecoming changed me.
Oh, well.
Hacksaw Ridge.
All right, so we have this movie. It basically took place. This is a gentleman who is a pacifist.
Okay.
A conscientious objector.
Right.
All right, and so one of the things that he did, he grew up in Virginia, out in Lynchburg, so the mountains of Virginia, and there was an event that happened where he hurt his brother, and at that point he took this vow not to basically hold weapons or to hurt others, and he wanted to be part of World War II. He did join
felt
the military.
That it was his duty.
He is.
Yeah,
it is, and. He went through basic training, and part of going through basic training is you have to have a rifle course, and he did not accept the rifle. And so ultimately he was put on a court-martial. He was going to be court-martialed for it, and there was an event that happened that prevented that from happening, but he joined to become a medic. Garfield's character is a Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay.
That is a type of religion. Yeah, in Virginia, we have Mennonites. You may see Amish in your area. So, you know, that was what we say is more the extreme religions when compared to, say, Methodists and Baptists and Lutherans and Catholics. But in between there's this group. And this group, the Saturday is the Sabbath, and there are some rules that they follow. I actually worked with a few, and wonderful people, as all people are. But my point being is that this weighed very heavy on him, and he decided to join the military, as many people did with World War II. He served over in Japan, and he served as a medic.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenges he had fitting in with his troop, you know, eventually came to play, and he won a number of awards and a whole bunch of stuff.
And this is a true story. This is based on a real guy.
There's some real challenges with this movie. While I didn't mind watching this movie, and I think that many of the characters did a very good job, there's a couple things that were kind of strange. They went to basic training. Normally, you shave your heads down, you know, for military stuff. You know, Andrew's got a full head of hair, man. Like, there's no way
that was not realistic, huh?
No. And the other thing is, his sergeant was Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
And Vince Vaughn, while he could be a military person, he just wasn't convincing as this drill sergeant who was going to get them in place. And
I totally buy that.
And I'm not kicking Vince Vaughn. I like Vince Vaughn a whole bunch. I'm just thinking that they made a number of questionable decisions on how to move this, you know, the characters of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of detracts from the movie. This also is a mixture of the story along with a sort of a Saving Private Ryan, but much more of a Hamburger style. I mean, when you get to the war scenes, they can be quite gruesome, kind of Hamburgerish. And, you know,
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean by Hamburgerish.
Meat.
You're seeing gruesome meat.
You're seeing some really tough scenes. And while they do weigh on the characters, that is realistic.
Okay.
I thought it was gratuitous a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm just, listen, man, I'm just a guy watching the film,
mm-hmm.
and I recognize war is really what it is, and it weighs heavy on me. and to see it, and they certainly aren't, this is not some slasher film, but there was a definite conscious effort to show hamburger meat.
Boy.
So that's kind of a real tough thing for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And his story is a good story. His story deserved to be told. They did a pretty good job on it. My scale 1 to 100, I'd say this is 55, 60.
Okay.
So it's not bad, but it's definitely something that if you're not prepared for it, yeah, just recognize it can be quite heavy at times.
It's brutal. War is brutal. There is no doubt about that. And yeah, there's some movies that I avoid because they're too realistic, too gruesome. There's other war movies that I flock to. This week, I'm going to see War for the Planet of the Apes. That's a different war movie.
Well, one's real and one's not. Or one's based on reality and right. The other is not.
Yes.
This has Woody Harrelson as our bad guy.
Yes.
Which Woody Harrelson is such a fun guy.
He is one of the best actors working right now.
And if we take that along with the care of this Planet of the Apes series, which I really have enjoyed the first two films,
mm-hmm.
This is going to be a lot of fun. This will be our big film for the week. I will probably see this in the theater on opening night.
Wow. I will see this too. I'm not sure that I'm gonna go opening night. I will see Planet of the Apes whenever you want to give me a Planet of the Apes movie. I go back and watch the Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes. Those are great movies.
The first one is a classic.
Yes.
And the other ones are serviceable.
Mm-hmm.
And their budgets got lower and lower and lower
until they got to the point where they were just wearing like really bad Halloween masks.
But this reboot, mm-hmm. The first two were excellent. They service their point well. They have a story. They're realistically or more realistically
uh-huh.
trying to show the growth of this. But this is not reality. This is sort of a fantasy war film
yeah.
with a fun apes. Story.
I look forward to that one a lot.
Damn dirty apes!
Oh yeah. Oh, I could watch that. I could watch that. Every year. It's not one of my annual movies, but I do watch Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston often. There are other movies coming out this week, believe it or not, other than The War of the Planet of the Apes and Spider-Man.
Do you have a horror movie for me?
Yeah, there's a horror movie called Wish Upon. This is a young lady finds a box, and on
makes
that box...
Makes a deal, baby.
Yeah, you can make 7 wishes, and if you've read or seen anything about wishes, it never goes well.
Oh, no.
This never goes well.
You mean you don't wish for more wishes?
That seems to be the first thing that you should wish for, doesn't it? So that's Wish Upon. You can find that one. There's another one called Blind. This one has an all-star cast.
It stars Donald Trump.
It's not Donald Trump. That's Alec Baldwin.
Oh!
I can see how you make that mistake because they sound the same.
And G.I. Jane, right.
And G.I. Jane. Demi Moore, Alec Baldwin, and Dylan McDermott. This is a relationship adult, but not adult movie. This is one of those movies where it's things are happening in the adult world, and
let's just say that sometimes you go to the film and the wife doesn't want to see an ape movie, then you get dragged into this.
Yeah, the wife can go watch this while I go watch the apes. I am watching Planet of the Apes.
Netflix is pretty good to us this week.
Netflix is usually pretty good to us. This week they have a documentary called Chasing Coral. This is an interesting scientific exploration of the coral reefs.
Well, if you've ever been scuba diving and you've seen a coral reef, you get to see one of nature's most beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you touch it, it dies.
Yeah.
And then if you recognize the ocean, how it changes, whether it gets hot or cold, whether it's acidic or the base or whatever, mm-hmm. any kind of changes can dramatically change these areas. Very similar to like tropical rainforests or have a tremendous amount of diversity. Anything we can learn about coral, these coral reefs,
mm-hmm.
probably are good for us to
probably
learn about.
Probably good for all of us. So I look forward to seeing that one on Netflix.
That'd be a good thing to see. Throw up there on the big screen.
And there is a documentary called Blue Velvet Revisited.
Well, Surreal Chip wants to know about more about this.
Yes, this is a documentary behind the scenes of the shooting of Blue Velvet from 30 years ago.
Here, I'm going to breathe into something. I'm doing Dennis Hopper. Right?
Dennis Hopper breathing something and David Lynch makes movies. David Lynch makes art. David Lynch makes art movies. Blue Velvet is so interesting, so weird.
It's a German filmmaker that's going to be reviewing David Lynch.
So this is a German guy who was on the set 30 years ago and has all these behind-the-scenes movies of all of this stuff being filmed. This is surreal on top of surreal.
So follow our Facebook feed. While I'm down on vacation, yes. I may throw up some pictures from the set.
Because you're going down to North Carolina.
I'll be where they filmed this film, and I can probably pull up a few pictures for
you. You're not quite as German as this guy, but you'll have some set photos for us on our Facebook page. So exactly. Keep an eye on that.
So bring us to the next part.
Book it. Brings us to our book at our book of the week, and I have re-examined David Lynch's Catching the Big Fish. This was published in 2006 and it was republished in 2016. There was a 10th anniversary edition that was even more surreal. David Lynch in this book, it's more of a...
You didn't give us a full name, Steve.
All right.
Meditation,
consciousness, and creativity.
Well, there you go. We're talking about an artist here.
We are talking about an artist. We're talking about a person who practices meditation, a person who is very interested in the mind and how the mind works and slowing things down and being conscious of our surroundings.
Okay.
If you think about David Lynch's work, there's a lot of space in between all of his work. That space for thinking.
A conscious decision to make that space.
Yes.
A conscious decision to make the surreal part to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to use this word over and over, but it really is. There's decisions on how to present this information to you that is to make you think about it.
To broaden your mind and to think about who you are and to think about why you think about the things that you think about. It's very deep.
So tell me a little, what did you take away from this that you didn't know beforehand?
I know that meditation is good. I know in my existence when I am scurrying around this life.
Having monkey brain,
having too many things to do all at the same time, it's not good. I know this. And when I'm in that moment, I know that I need to slow down. I need to think. I need to be in that moment and be a part of my life.
Sure.
David Lynch is a guru on this. And what you can see in this book is how he takes that and uses it in everything he does. In his creation of art, in his creation of film, in his creation of a sandwich.
His space around him.
A very surreal sandwich.
Okay.
David Lynch is that guy that diving within, that thinking about the themes of life.
One of the writings says, catching ideas like a fish.
Mm-hmm. He's got some big ideas. And he talks about how delving deep into the conscious can get the bigger fish, the bigger ideas to come out. And you can become whatever it is that you are aiming towards. You can stay on the shallow side and do the little things that make life happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can find that depth. David Lynch is a guru.
So do you feel that you learned something by reading this?
Yes. Okay. I feel that...
You seem so much deeper, Steve.
I am. Can you tell how much slower I talk when I'm talking about David Lynch compared to when I'm talking about, Spider-Man?
Da-da-da. We're going to put some like crazy surreal music
crazy surreal surroundings. Looking at David Lynch's Twin Peaks...
When I think of David Lynch in general, I'm thinking a little out of focus. I'm thinking of colors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of objects that you would recognize, but kind of twisted in a way.
That meaning.
Yeah. So very much maybe the modern version of the pop music, art movie from the past.
Mm-hmm.
But, Andy Warhol would be a good example. He did film and he dabbled in music and dabbled in art and prints and stuff like that. But, you know, David Lynch is involved in all these things too.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a contemporary of him, maybe David Byrne, that type of person. Laurie Anderson, that type of person. Philip Glass. I'm trying to think of like some people who kind of can play around in maybe a little bit different way, but they're doing similar enough work.
Yeah. There's more to life than what you're doing, and looking at David Lynch and what he's doing is certainly a way to spark some extra in your life. I do recommend this book. It's very short. It's 120 pages.
Beautiful.
I actually got the audiobook also, and David Lynch himself says these words to you.
How wonderful.
And it takes about an hour and a half. It's about an hour and a half's worth of a chat with David Lynch.
And recognizing that the majority of people you run into in the world have not read a book since high school.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not reading, this would be a good thing to pick up to get involved. Even if you're doing the audiobook. There's nothing wrong with doing audiobooks.
I love audiobooks. Love them. You can find that book on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our new segment. I'm still going to say new segment. It's the second week, but it's still our new segment. This is Scroll With It. This is our...
Scroll With It, Steve?
Yeah. This Friday, July 14th, is Bastille Day. So happy Bastille Day to all of you...
Have a croissant.
...who survived...
Drink some wine.
...all of the guillotines.
Have some cheese.
Go and speak French, the language of diplomacy.
And there are events here in Chicago.
That's right. Go down to Ravenswood and celebrate Bastille Day on Friday.
Uh-huh. Speaking of French accent.
The French have proposed that they are going to ban sales of gas-powered automobiles in the year 2040.
So the idea is if you are in France,
mm-hmm.
and you're not speaking the language of love, but you're there for other reasons,
uh-huh.
your transportation may not be...
will be something other than gasoline-powered.
And that sounds like the electric engine, which sounds very much like what the Swedish company Volvo said this week, that by 2019, they're going to give up the combustion engine. And they're going to electric.
All right. So 2019 is literally around the corner. 2040 is not very far away at all. We are looking at the change in how cars are being made.
Well, we can already see it. Chevrolet has the Volt. We have
the Bolt. They have the Volt and the Bolt.
That's right. They have, then we have Tesla.
Uh-huh.
BMW has their electric. I know that Mercedes is working on electric too, which you know probably means all the other companies have some version of that.
So I might be driving my last gasoline-powered car.
Possibly. Wow. Possibly. Now, here in the United States, it may be a little bit different because we are a larger...
That's true.
...and designed for more commute. And the question is that we ultimately have to come down to is whether we are designing our cities properly. I mean, I can think of our little suburb here, and I don't know if you could survive by walking around. You could do a little biking around to get someplace.
You could get a local job in one of our local establishments.
But you know, but
how many people?
You could not take a bike to a train station. It's too far.
That's right.
So, you know, if we think about how cities are going to be change mm-hmm. and be defined in the future, if we're not boring holes to get, you know, really quickly to places.
Right.
Or thinking about how we want to live.
It's going to change.
Yeah. So electric vehicles, this is the big move. It's 2019 for Volvo, 2040 for France.
The country of France.
And if France can do it, then other countries could do it. I mean, we may see some version of this in some areas, especially metropolitan areas, even yes. here in the United States.
Yes, the metropolitan areas will certainly transfer to a different power source faster than the suburban areas. There's no doubt about that. What about transferring to a branch of the U.S. Military that...
That's right. You can go Army, Air Force. That was the first thing I thought about Hacksaw Ridge is, boy, the Air Force really made a difference on how they fought, which that wasn't really part of it yet. But now, you know, I've been watching the History Channel. I know about ancient aliens.
So we need another branch of the U.S. military, and there is a proposal to make a...
The United States Space Corps, Steve.
United States Space Corps, Oh my God.
So you can go to the Coast Guard Academy, go to the Naval Academy, or go to Starfleet the Air Force. Starfleet
Academy.
There you go. Well, you know, Starfleet, their mission was to boldly go where no man has gone before. Uh-huh. They were an exploration group.
Correct.
Now, this is a Defense Department group.
So you're going to go land on the asteroid and blow it up with Bruce Willis.
That's right. You're going to have Bruce Willis there. You're going to fight some asteroids.
Fight some asteroids.
It'll be just like the game, Steve.
Stay down, asteroid. this is exciting. This is as much as we live in the future. The future is here. Electric cars and people with laser guns in space.
All right. So
I'm ready.
All right. So let's get to the other part. This is a warning to all who like to record all your activities on your automobiles.
Okay, kids. Let me explain something to you.
Uncle Steve's going to explain things.
Let me explain something to you, kids. There are certain things that you don't want to record and put on YouTube because you did something wrong. If you do something wrong, you should feel bad about it, and you should try to repair whatever damage you did.
All right, so there's a gentleman here in one of the local Chicago suburbs, not too far from where we live, on a street that we go on quite often. Well, he was
a very busy street.
Yeah, he was recording himself driving his motorcycle about 140 miles an hour.
Being chased by the police.
They actually put together they blocked him. He turned around. On one of the videos, he turned around and actually was going against traffic. He's on a motorcycle. Well, anyway, he had uploaded one of his videos, or multiple ones. And anyway, he was identified from tattoos on his arms.
Yeah.
So the police actually knew who the guy was. They went and arrested him. $40,000 was his bail, just so you know.
Yeah.
He had to put up $4,000 for that. But regardless, recording yourself and then uploading to YouTube could get you into a lot of trouble.
Well, if you're doing something wrong, stop it. And if you're doing something wrong, don't brag about it. All these dumb criminals that do these dumb things,
alleged, Steve.
Okay. Okay. We have video proof. I know. I know. It's the 21st century and you can't believe any video that you see anymore because we can create ape war. But come on. Let's try to be nice to each other and not endanger the lives of others.
Steve's going to try the cinnamon challenge.
Yeah, my YouTube channel is very simple. I don't put anything like that on my YouTube channel. My students ask me all the time, "Oh, do you have a YouTube channel?" I say, "Yes, I've got a YouTube channel for me and for the show." And no, we don't have any silly cinnamon challenge videos. Today is your day. If you want to buy some stuff, today is Amazon Prime Day.
Yeah, and Amazon Prime Day is sort of like a Black Friday type of event.
Right.
It's like deep discounts from Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. So they're typical things that they're going to have on sale. If you don't own a Kindle, Kindle's the cheap one. It's especially great to be able to take out to the pool, to the beach. Why? Because they're like $30 or $40. They're maybe on sale for less than that.
And they're e-paper, so you can read them in the sunlight.
Exactly.
I love my Kindle.
What I do is I throw mine into a gallon bag, a little baggie, and that gives me enough protection that I actually can sit in the pool, and you can't dunk it in there, but you know, if a splash comes up, it's not going to knock it out.
Right.
But they last forever.
Yeah.
Mine's like 5 or 6 years old. But anyway, I read off my Kindle quite a bit. But also, if you want an Echo or...
They get some good deals on the Amazon Echo going on.
Or any of the other services they have. And also, if you needed something, you can go on there and you can purchase your stuff. Obviously, it's changed retail quite a bit.
Yes, it has. Amazon is certainly changing retail. And the Amazon Echo is changing the way we shop, too. Because some of these deals are Amazon Echo only deals. You have to talk to the Echo to get some of these deals.
Well, I know they were offering a straight up $10 coupon if you ordered something through the Echo. So, all right, my point on this is I'm certainly not encouraging you to go out and buy something you don't need. But if you're going to buy something on on Amazon Prime Day, if you go through our notes or go to our website,
amazon.toomuchscrolling.com,
and you order it, what it will allow us to do is we get like a little kickback. Yep. It doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
It doesn't change
your lifestyle at all.
We get a little kickback on that, and we use that to buy equipment, replace stuff as we need to replace it. Uh-huh. So it's a way of supporting the show without costing you anything.
Yeah, if you like this show at all, if you think that this show is something that should continue through our fourth year, we could really use your support. Go to amazon.toomuchscrolling.com, put it in your bookmarks, make that your Amazon store.
Steve, you sound like a PBS station right now.
We only do these pledge drives when we need money. If you call in right now, we'll send you a bumper sticker and we'll stop doing this pledge drive. You'll have to call in order to make this pledge drive end.
Oh, we just need all the telephones behind us so that, yeah, everybody's picking it up. Anyway, this is awesome. Thank you so much for allowing us in your lives anyway.
And thank you for supporting us in any way that you can. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we can. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find all the news that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Surreal Chip. Pass and flow.
I'm going to be a slave. I'll see you in the future. We don't talk about what I want to talk about.